time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk. How's it going, everybody? We used to say good morning, Nick, on the old show, but it could be any time of night listening to us.
Yeah, we don't even know sometimes.
Day or night, whatever, what have you. But we are here, Dom DeCastro, Nick Kukuru. We bring you a podcast every week, coming from the radio world into this world at msonewsports.com, bringing you all the news in the Merrimack Valley, and occasionally southern New Hampshire, and occasionally, as in today. We will be having a Southern New Hampshire sports report brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, Plastown, New Hampshire. We measure up. Gerard Moynihan has been a great sponsor for us for both shows now, North Shore Sports Desk and Merrimack Valley. All of them are live on msonewsports.com. So, Nick, it's a summer doldrums in the Valley, eh?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it most certainly is. You know what? It's a nice relief, but you know, I do kind of like it when I can map out my week ahead of time a little better.
That is true. It's a better pace for you until the fall chaos starts again. But
which I also like, you know, I like the variety.
Yeah, there is a little Legion baseball action going on. Eagle Tribune reporting.
Yeah, we still got stuff going on.
Yeah. We got Lawrence doing good. Andover beating Peabody 11-0. First round of that Commissioner's Cup Legion playoff. So that's some good action there. Lewis Cespedes, 5 innings, a no-hit ball. Terry Morrissey comes in and completes the no-hitter. So a combined no-hitter for the boys in Andover. Evan Brenner, Anthony Tibero, Joe Bucci, each had bases loaded doubles. They had 9 hits in the game. Chris Jallett on base 3 times, 2 walks, and an RBI single. So they, at the time of this recording, Nick, had a game yesterday. We don't know the results of that, but it's the Commissioner's Cup Legion playoffs. Some good little baseball there.
Is. I miss what Legion baseball used to be totally honest. I think AAU kind of made Legion baseball kind of not as relevant as it used to be. It used to be the best product of baseball that there was. You know, summer Legion baseball was the best baseball in your state. 20 years ago, and it's too bad that's not the case anymore.
And we pretty much exactly talked about that with Mike Levine, the coach of Beverly Salem Legion, in the other show, North Shore Sports Desk. His case was, you know what, come over to us, we're cheap, and we provide pretty darn good baseball. If you don't want to fork over the thousands and thousands of dollars to play AAU, but. So, Nick, let's take a break because we have so much to catch up with our friend from the Nashua Telegraph, Tom King, sports reporter, been approaching 40 years on that job. He knows all there is to know. I mean, Nick, this guy took a vacation for 2 weeks and he's only been back like a day and he still has a mouthful that you'll hear.
Yeah. He's got Southern New Hampshire covered. It tells us everything we need to know.
Yeah, he would. He's going to tell you everything you need to know, our loyal listeners, right after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget, whether it's temporary or permanent. Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro, Nick Cooper here, the team of Nick and Nick Kelly Media, MSONewsSports.com. Nick, this is our Moynihan Lumber of Plaistow, New Hampshire, Southern New Hampshire Sports Report, and there's no one better to give us that dialogue than Tom King, sports reporter, Nashua Telegraph, making his second appearance in the Nick and Nick Enterprise. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing all right. How about you?
Not too bad. I just got off a 2-week vacay yesterday and timed it perfectly. I went down to Patriots camp the first part of the day, and then last night I covered the Nashville Silver Knights, the Futures Collegiate Baseball League, Wooden Bat League local entry, and saw them clinch a playoff berth. And that's basically what's going on right now. We're kind of in a in-between type time. Yeah. Once you get in, as Nick knows, once you get into early August, early to maybe almost mid-August, it slows down. All the youth baseball teams, unless you've got a really dynamite one that you know the areas have had that make it to the, you know, Little League World Series or something like that, that slows down. That's basically done. And then you get into you're in between, and then you have the fall. You know, for us, fall practices start August 12th for football and August 15th for everything else for the high schools. But with the Silver Knights in Nashville making the playoffs, which they just qualified for last night, they'll either be the second or third seed out of four teams. So next Monday, I'll either be contemplating a trip to Burlington, Vermont. I may try to get the Burlington Free Press to help me out there, or I'll be driving to New Haven, Connecticut, to see the Silver Knights in the first round, in the semifinal round of the FCBL playoffs. Two out of three, best two out of three.
Nice. Tell us more about that Futures League, Tom. What kind of what kind of players are they getting there?
Well, this year, it's interesting, Nick. You know, a couple of years ago, it almost was like the Cape Cod League in a way. It was because it was the only league around. Everything else had shut down because of the pandemic, and the Futures League decided to give it an abbreviated, early July to mid to late August try. And it worked. They got a lot of D1 guys, a lot of whom have been drafted over the last 2 years, and Nashua won the league title. And it was a fun summer, and it took you right into the start of the fall because they played so late. This year, the last 2 years, the league's talent level is back to where it was. It's mainly a fringe D1 and heavily populated D2, D3 league in terms of where the players are coming from. And that's where a lot of the talent is. They have had some guys go to the majors over the years. The league, was formed in 2011. So it's been a very competitive league. They picked up a contract a couple of years ago with Nesson that's helped them out a little bit. They've got four games that are aired every year in July, and that's gotten them good exposure. So the league has come a long way. It's probably talent-wise a little bit below, you've heard of the New England Collegiate Baseball League. It's probably talent-wise a little bit below that. But this league is unique because these franchises are run for profit. The NECBL is a nonprofit league. They get funded by Major League Baseball. Some of the funding comes from Major League Baseball. The Futures League, they're run like minor league franchises. They depend on advertising, tickets. They have to pay leases. It's, excuse me, it's a for-profit league. And each franchise is there. You know, if you talk to the owner, talk to the owners, they'll tell you the league has two missions. One is to give the players, get them prepared for maybe what life is like in minor league baseball with bus trip, but, you know, the long bus rides, everything else. But also the owners want to make some money.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to see, you said the Nashua Silverlights play yesterday at the time of this recording. Was that the 6-5 win over the Starfires?
Yes. Silverlights 6-5 win over the Starfires, in which they had a kid. In a lot of ways, guys, it's a transient league because you will get your rosters at the start of the year, and a lot of times they won't look the same at the end of the season. All right. And they play a lot of games. They play 64 games. The owners want to play a lot of games because they want to make money, you know? So, you know, I remember once mentioning to, talking casually in a press box at North Shore in Lynn at Fraser Field. And they're not in the league anymore. They jumped back to the NECBL where they originally were. And I said, you know, the league maybe want to cut down 10 games. Oh, my God. The GM took my head off. You know, you say, we can't do that. We can't survive on that. So this is what it's all about. And, it's a very competitive league. The team that's the class of the league right now are the Vermont Lake Monsters up in Burlington. What the league did, guys, a couple of years ago, or actually a year ago, just over a year ago, when minor league baseball, when the major leagues forced the minor leagues to contract, there's some ballparks that were sitting there empty. So what the league did was they swooped in and took over Burlington and that ballpark, the available time in that ballpark. It's on the campus of UVM, and they also went into Norwich, two, you know, minor league cities, and Vermont is really, they're more used to what the FCBL is like because of the fact that they were in, you know, they were in the New York Penn League, which is, you know, a glorified summer college league. Let's face it. All these guys are all draft choices, you know, recent draft picks. So, that, you know, they've really been the class of the league. They won it last year, won the title their first year in the league. They want that they're the favorite to win it again this year. They're the top seed. So this is, you know, it'll be an interesting playoff. It really will. I think Nashua will end up going to New Britain, but it'd be interesting to see how they play over the last four games. There's only four games left in the regular season tonight, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Nashua is home tonight and they're home on Sunday.
Excellent. Tom, you mentioned the Little League earlier. Any, you know, Southern New Hampshire teams from your area make a run in the Williams?
Not that I know of. Nashua has limited Little League. They have very small little national. If you go under the Williamsport umbrella, that, you know, National Little League, Nashua only has a few teams that play. So we don't, and sometimes you hear from them, sometimes you don't. But what Nashua has is Cal Ripken. That's kind of the alternative to Little League. That's another youth league. Nashua had a team that was in the regionals, but there's so few teams right now in youth baseball, especially in Southern New Hampshire. The numbers, I believe in Nashua, they're down, and the pandemic didn't do baseball with kids any favors. You know, it really didn't. It shut down youth sports for the better part of one summer, and it was slow for these kids to get back last year and this year. So, I mean, Nashua was in the regionals, the 11 and under team was in the Cal Ripken regionals, New England regionals. They were in Connecticut and they lost on the next to last day and were eliminated. But there's so few teams. Nashua didn't even win their state title. They were a runner up, but they were still qualified for the regionals. So that kind of tells you a little bit about where it goes. So usually Little League World Series time around here is a quiet time.
Yeah, and I think you have to go a little up north to my area where there was some success recently. Last year, Nick, I think the team that Peabody West played in the New England regionals was Manchester Hookset. Do I get that right, Tom?
Manchester Hookset. Yeah, and that's, again, how that's, you know, they had to combine. You know, that never used to have to happen.
That's crazy. Like in a town of 100, my town, Manchester, I mean, 115,000 people or so, they have to combine with another town for a little league team?
Guys, that's Manchester Public Schools had to combine to field varsity baseball teams.
Wow. That's a size of Lowell, Nick. That's like a Lowell having to combine with another high school. You wouldn't see that happen.
Yeah, you wouldn't see that happen. It's really tough right now. Nashua hasn't had to do that. You know, they've had to co-op in hockey, varsity hockey, but they haven't had to co-op. That's what they call it here, co-oping. They haven't had to co-op with baseball. Nashua North and Nashua South were fairly strong in baseball, and then their numbers, Nashua South's numbers were very good. I don't think you'll see that, but it'll be interesting down the road to see how the numbers go, depending on what the youth pipeline is. A few years ago, Nashua had a team in the Babe Ruth 14-year-old World Series, and they're starting to see the rewards of some of that with some of their, you know, with the numbers up, especially at Nashua South.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It really is crazy in terms of the co-oping and what these teams have to do to get numbers, to get kids out to play.
It's also surprising, Don. I feel like, you know, the North Shore, the other area we cover, baseball couldn't be healthier as far as from a youth and, you know, all levels standpoint. I feel like numbers are pretty stable. I mean, some communities are smaller than they used to be, don't have as many kids, but I feel like there's nobody, you don't see anyone co-oping baseball teams.
Yeah.
Well, baseball, even though baseball is not an expensive sport, I think you're also looking at a economic situation there too. The North Shore in Massachusetts is not known as let's put it this way. It's a more affluent area than some other areas in this region.
Sure.
So I think that their numbers ought to be pretty good. I think the interesting thing, what's going on right now, I forgot about this because we don't have a local there. We had the Legion tournament about a week and a half ago, the senior Legion tournament. And I thought Nashua, if you had told me Nashua wasn't even going to be in the finals, I would have just shaken my head. They were 16-1 during the regular season. They did not make it to the finals. The Concord, New Hampshire, is in the Legion regionals right now. And that's going on at Hanover Insurance Park at Holy Cross, Field at Holy Cross in Worcester. Nashua was there 3 years ago. There was no Legion season in 2020, and Nashua lost in the finals in 2021. Portsmouth went last year. So this is about the fourth or fifth year in a row that Worcester has hosted the Northeast/New England regional for senior Legion.
Yeah. So you said Nashua lost in the finals there. Was that against Beverly Salem? Is that the right league I'm talking about? Do you remember who the Massachusetts team was?
Well, Nashua didn't lose. I'm talking about the state tournament. They lost in the finals last year. State tournament at Portsmouth. Yeah. In the regional tournament, they got beat by Lawrence and they got beat by a team in Connecticut. And then they went and lost two straight in the regionals back in 2019. And save for the COVID year, you would have thought that they might have had a return trip, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Tom King is here, a sports reporter, Nashua Telegraph. Tom, let's move to the fall. Anything on your radar in terms of teams that in your region that have potential to make some noise in the fall for high school sports?
I think in football, Nashua North may be able to make some noise. There's a little change. I know you guys had your changes in Massachusetts years ago. In New Hampshire, I just don't think they get the format right. They're very leery of teams dropping down a division, and there's some teams that they should have allowed to drop down. and some teams that should have wanted to drop down. So when one of the teams, Timberlane, which is, you know, you got a Plastow sponsor, Timberlane moved up from D2, winning the D2 title. They moved up to D1. They were only down. They only agreed to go down to D2 for 2 years. They go back up to D1. No one from D1 went down. Mm-hmm. So there's an odd number of teams. So they've revamped the scheduling and everything else. And they've extended the season. And they're going to have their championships. Usually the championships are all wrapped up by Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving. This year it'll be the weekend of Thanksgiving, which I'm not a big fan of. I think up here in New Hampshire, it's time to cut the cord with the fall by that point. But they're going an extra week. Nashua North has a new coach, Chad Zabolas. They were not a playoff team last year. I would expect them to be a playoff team this year. But Bishop Gurton, which draws from, some of the Merrimack Valley and even draws from where you are in Manchester. Some of the kids from Manchester will go there if they don't want to go to Trinity. If they want to go to a private school, they got their choice. They can go to Bishop Grady up in Concord, Trinity in Manchester, or they can come down to BG. Bishop Gurton should be very good this year as well. They were good last year. They lost in the first or second round of the playoffs last year, but they were a very good football team. So it'll be interesting to see. Those two teams, I think, are going to be strong. Gurton had a very good fall last year. They won the state title in girls soccer. And that was pretty big. So it's the fall is there are some teams that come out of the woodwork sometimes in the fall that you really don't expect. I think the spring is sometimes more predictable than the fall is.
Yeah.
So with fall, you don't know what kind of progression these kids have made. It's guys and Nick, you guys could both vouch for this. Isn't it incredible the progression, athletic progression that sometimes a high school kid makes from say April and May to September?
It's true.
Isn't it?
It's so true.
You see a kid in September, you're looking at him and like, all right, the name's familiar, but this kid doesn't look anything like it. They've gone to the weight room. They hit the weight room and they've gotten faster. They've gotten stronger. They've gotten bigger. They've natural growth, the whole bit. You know, these kids just get stronger yeah. as time goes on.
Yeah.
So true.
That is amazing, Nick. And what was he talking about earlier, Nick, with the Thanksgiving ending the season? We got our own little contentious
If only that were the case.
In Massachusetts. Yeah, because Tom, as you know, in Mass, they play on Thanksgiving Day, well, rivals, and that complicates the Super Bowl because you have a Super Bowl team, right, Tom? So there was Marble and Swampscott both in the Super Bowl, and they played and battled each other on Thanksgiving Day. Then they played the Super Bowl 9 days later.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. And of course, for some coaches with your Thanksgiving Day games, if they're already in the playoffs and already all their seeds were determined and everything else, well, actually, they may have played a playoff game before then, a playoff round before then. They don't want to play their main guys in this game, right? In the Thanksgiving Day game. It used to be for you guys, the Thanksgiving Day games set up your Super Bowls, right? Mm-hmm. That's the way it used to be.
Yep.
And they were huge games. And they're just not as big anymore. New Hampshire Thanksgiving Day football has fallen by the wayside. Nashua North and South competed on Thanksgiving Day since 2004. And then about 5 years ago, 2016, they moved it to a Wednesday night to try to draw more people because it's a money. They want it to be a moneymaker for the schools. And the weather just wasn't that great. It rained. The next year, it was it snowed earlier the week before, so the stands were frozen. You know, it was and it was really cold. So, but this year with the playoffs extending to that weekend, there aren't going to be any Thanksgiving Day games in New Hampshire this year.
Mm. Well, something we'll be watching.
They can't get football right. Either state, right? They can't.
I know.
It's what's so complicated about it, you know?
It's true. You know? We've been asking the same thing. There's so many debates and Twitter.
And there's so many different agendas. I think that's the problem. Some have agendas one way, some have them the other way, and you try to compromise, and it just makes it worse.
Let me tell you, let me give you the perfect example of how you can screw it up for a school. Alvern High School. Have you guys heard of that in Hudson, New Hampshire? Are you aware?
I think you might have told us about them last time. Yeah.
All right. Alvern High School. They were, they dropped down to Division II in New Hampshire a few years ago. They're 2 years in two. They made the finals the first year because they had an excellent quarterback, which they hadn't had in years. So they made the finals in Division II. They didn't blow anybody away. They just played consistent football, made the finals. They lost. Then they played the semifinals the next year. Again, playing very close games, and we're on par with a lot of the contenders. Didn't blow anybody away unless you were a really, really bad team. They were forced to move up to Division I when Timberlane dropped down, and they had to be in a league with the powerful Pinkerton Academy Astros, Londonderry. They were in that conference. They just could not compete. They just don't have that football acumen to be able to play at that level. They don't have the numbers may be good, but athletically in boys sports, let me give you this stat. Alvern hasn't won a boys state championship in any team sport since early 1970s.
Oof.
Okay. What are you doing taking a football program and forcing them to play where they're going to get lose by 50 points every week?
Yeah.
You know, just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. They're quick a lot of the states are quick to, you know, we see this in Mass all the time. They're quick to promote them, I guess they're calling it, right, to a higher division. Oh, you're having a little too much success there. Move up. And then they get slaughtered. You know, what good does that do anybody?
Yeah. What does that do? The kids aren't going to want to try out for that. And you talk to it. You talk to a guy with a suit and tie, and they'll tell you, "Well, they went to the state championship, and then they don't." Take a look at the history here. You know, open your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, stop looking at what happened yesterday. Look at what happened 25 yesterdays beyond. The school doesn't have a good football program. It needs help, and that's the way to do it. Get them on a competitive level. So. But that's the way it is. You know, that's how some things happen. And, you know, I guess no matter what state you go to, right, they're the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah. Well said, Tom King. And, man, Nick, if he has this much to say in early August, I wonder what's going to be the topic like mid-October or something when we bring him back. But we will bring you back. Looking forward to it. Get the New Hampshire report straight from the horse's mouth. Tom King, Nashua Telegraph, thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
All righty. Yep. Tom's in the books. Let's take a break and just wrap up with a few more thoughts on the other side.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's time appliances had a personality, yours. Discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection now at Tri-City Sales. A sleek glass finish in platinum gives your appliances a look like nothing you've seen before, while professional cooking features take your meals to the next level. From entertaining to inspiring, bring modern design to your home with a kitchen that's a reflection of you. Make appliances personal with a look that's as smooth as glass. Visit Tri-City Sales Showroom and discover the Cafe Modern Glass Collection today. Tri-City Sales in Salem and Ipswich.
All right, we're back on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, closing things out. Tom King, I always feel much more educated in my own state now, Nick, of the Granite State here.
Yeah, it's true.
The ins and outs for Tom King. We're definitely gonna make that a regular report for sure. We have to.
He's gonna absolutely. Give it. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Fall report.
When I'm thinking like mid-October.
After, yeah. Block off some extra time for that one.
Oh, we sure will. We sure will. But that wraps it up for now. You know, quiet summer show here. But hopefully Tom gave you all you need to know about Southern New Hampshire action. And, you know, we'll keep our eyes out on Bishop Wharton, Nick, because you heard him say that they get a lot of Merrimack Valley kids. So we'll have to pluck some of those kids out of there and watch them. Bishop Gurton in Nashua. And it kind of reminds me of like the Bishop Fenwick sort of dynamic, you know.
Yeah.
St. Mary's draw kids from the area, like Salem kids, Lynn kids.
Those teams all have good athletic programs, so.
Yeah. So, well, we're looking forward to giving you all that is the fall. We'll have great football preview shows in the Merrimack Valley. We're so excited that we'll be here before you know it. It's football starting August 19th. And I'm interested to know more about the Valley football, Nick, Merrimack Valley. We don't seem to get outside of Tewksbury, right? Do we get a lot of teams?
Yeah, and sometimes, depending on the alignment, Bill Ricker. Sometimes I feel like they're kind of a tweener in two and three. You know, when they're in three, we see them a lot North Shore wise. When they're in two, we don't. But yeah, Tewksbury is always around. Drakett too, but they're not always the strongest.
Yeah.
Drakett is another one of the smaller Merrimack Valley schools that I'm pretty familiar with in sports.
Did Tewksbury come out of a winner last fall in the Super Bowl or no? Did they get there?
I thought it was Marblehead, right? In three.
Tewksbury's in that division? Okay.
It was Marblehead Division 4. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I'm just wondering when the latest Tewksbury Super Bowl was, the most recent.
But, one long ago.
Yeah. No, we call them on the other show the North Shore Killer, so.
for good reason.
We'll be singing their praises. We'll flip that script a little bit. But all right, let's wrap things up. Tom King, thank you. Great job. Once again, we'll have you on in the fall. No question about it. Give us the New Hampshire report. Well, let's leave for now, Nick. I hope everyone has a good weekend, or maybe you listen to us on the weekend. Whenever you want, it's there. We're here for you. MSONewsSports.com. All right, everybody, have a good one. Thanks, Nick.